All right, post-game wrap time here from San Francisco Oracle Park. The Giants and the Dodgers, another great game between these two. And look, I get why people are saying it because, look, the Dodgers and the Padres have played some great games head-to-head the last couple years. But people saying that that's the best rivalry in baseball, that's some Johnny-come-lately stuff because this is the best rivalry in baseball, and it is delivering night after night after night.
What we've seen here in the last week and a half between these two teams is it's the essence of this game. It's the essence of this rivalry, and it's just riveting. And the quality of baseball that's being played, and the gut check and the gut wrench, and just the effort. I mean, these are games that you're tired physically and you're tired mentally. Because you have to pre-think, you have to be prepared for when situation comes your way. You have to make the right decision mentally. I mean, and it's at the end of the game, you're completely exhausted, but you're invigorated. Even the Dodgers tonight lost a tough ball game, but they played good ball until they made it an error that eventually cost them the game in the eighth inning. They feel like, we played a good game, good enough to win. And they're going to come back hard again tomorrow. But it's just it's so much fun when both of these teams are good and they get after it because the stakes are so high. And the fact that you have another team joining the party this year, the Padres, I mean, that's only going to enhance the whole thing as we get into September. I mean, it's just setting up to be a great last couple of months this year. And for Giants fans, they are digging it. Oh, my goodness, are they digging it.
I mean, we have two more games still to go and then another series later in the year, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. But and I know the Dodgers are not at full strength just like the Giants aren't, but this is a stretch where the Giants have no Crawford, no Belt, no Longoria. I mean, you could throw Tommy La Stella in there, but just three core guys who are out, and they've won four of these five games now in this stretch of two series. They're 4-1 against the Dodgers.
I mean, that the only thing they hadn't accomplished against the Dodgers so far this year was beat them here in San Francisco. They had those three games back the first three times they met. It's weird how they make the schedule, isn't it? Because they played three games here, the first three meetings of the year between the clubs, and then they played 10 times in L.A. against each other before they meet again here at all. But meanwhile, the Giants won six games against them in L.A. They took three out of four in two different four-game series down there. And now they got a shot at them here tonight. And it was interesting to me because Max Muncy, when he was with Oakland, he was more of a third baseman. And with the Dodgers, he plays, I think they like to play him at first base. But he can play second base as well, and he did tonight. And he did the right thing. Joe Morgan used to talk. I wish Kipe was here. Because he could give us the rundown. But great base running by Yaz because he stopped. He didn't run into the out. And then Muncy didn't get drawn in too much. He saw that he'd stopped, so he went ahead and got the out at first base. And the idea is that, Yaz can't get back to second because he's still too far away from the bag. But then, while I'm giving credit to Yaz for that, and he deserves it, Buster Posey came barreling around third base. Thinking, here's Bellinger. They're going to go after Yaz now. They got to get him at second base, and I might just keep on going. And Bellinger saw Buster coming around third, and he thought, I'm gonna nail him over there. And he's been a center fielder all year. When he's played, he's been in center field. But now they put him at first base, and he played a lot of first base and played it well in the past. But this is the first time, basically, that he started a game there this year. And he made that throw to third like he was out in center field trying to throw a guy out at the plate.
I've never seen a guy miss that high over throwing across a diamond, a first baseman over a third baseman's head, or a third baseman over a first baseman. I've never seen a guy miss that high. That's remarkable.
If it was the NFL, they would have given him 15 yards for a penalty on that one.
Oh, yeah, that's an interception, And in the Olympics, that's a gold medal. If you're talking about overthrows, that's a gold medal winner.
His last throwing error as a first baseman came in 2017. That's the last time he had any throwing error as a first baseman.
I mean, he's got such an incredible arm, and it's accurate. For that throw to come out of him, he had to have lost the grip.
But I thought both Yaz and Posey made smart base running plays. And maybe it wouldn't look so smart if Bellinger had thrown Posey out trying to get back to third base. But anyway, and Buster's not, he's not a fast guy. So, and yet he was going for it. And, you know, if they'd gotten that double play, it wouldn't have been the third out. And he might have scored if Bellinger had gone ahead and thrown the second to get Yaz out. And anyway, it came down to that, and Bellinger made the error this time. He may not do it again, but this time he did.
And the Giants made two throws in the game that were perfect. Austin Slater to second in a big spot after the Dodgers had taken a lead. And Darren Ruff, I mean, it wasn't a hard play, but make the solid play. Cut down the guy at home plate. That was the go-ahead run in the top of the eighth inning.
We just saw the other day that same play at the plate. I think the Padres, were they playing in Miami? And the Miami first baseman made a throw home, and he didn't make an accurate throw. The catcher had to lunge to his right to backhand it and then swing around, try to make a sweep tag on the runner, and the ball flew right out of his glove, and two runs ended up scoring on the play. So not a given on that play for Darren Ruff. But as you say, it was a perfect throw, and Buster had it in plenty of time to get the guy.
In some ways, the story of the game. Two throws from the Giants that were excellent, and one very, very bad throw from the Dodgers. And then just, I mean, you know, look, it was beautiful pitching, I thought, all the way around. But Logan Webb was outstanding again, and Harlan Garcia and Tyler Rogers, and then Jake McGee took out the drama in the ninth inning. Just a really well-played game.
That was fun.
Giants-Dodgers, it's delivering in 2021, isn't it?
It's been something.
It's been fun. It's been fun.
What are we going to see the next two nights? We've had the check swing game. We've had the throw game. What's tomorrow? Who knows?
But, you know, it's just every pitch, it's just a grind. I love it.
A lot of intensity and fun to watch. All right, we'll take our break, and when we come back, we'll pick our players of the game right after this. All right, post-game wrap part two. Mike Kruko, you get to pick a player of the game first today.
Okay, well, in that case, I'm going to take Buster Posey. Had a 2-for-3 night. Was outstanding behind the plate. And then he got to show off his running prowess and let everybody know that he is sneaky slow. And that was a significant play. So just, you know, another great, great game from Posey. And the way he handled the staff, I love it. He can play. It's a pleasure to watch this guy. It's a privilege to watch this guy. So I'm taking Posey.
He was down 0-2 in the count against Trinan to lead off that inning and worked a walk. So that turned into a – we didn't know how big that play was at the time when he got on base. That was the winning run.
Thank you.
Nice pick, Mike.
Thank you.
Good pick, Buster.
Man, you came through big
time.
In the
middle of all of it tonight.
Yeah.
You know – I keep forgetting to ask. I guess the rule is with the new nets that go all the way down each foul line, that it's now a caged match, as they say in the World Wrestling Federation. If you make a 40-foot overthrow to third base, it hits the net. It's just wherever it goes and whatever it does, it's in play. Because I thought maybe there'd be a ground rule on a throw like that. It'd be just as if it went out of play. But no. If it hits, and you said this the other night, Dave, if it hits the net and then maybe drops down and still ends up behind the wall, then it's just as if it went in the stands. Otherwise, if it's whatever it does is whatever it does. A guy could get an inside the park home run on a wild throw like that if it went just the right direction. So that's weird, though, isn't it? There's never really been anything quite like that in the history of Major League Baseball, other than maybe a wild throw that hits high on the backstop behind the plate. But anyway, it's weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like it's too complicated to try to sort it out. If you were going to say, well, this throw, if it's this high, then you – I mean, it's like, what do you do? It's almost – you almost got no choice.
Well, I mean, if it's over the retaining wall, it's into the seats.
Yeah.
And we know that, right, if there's no net there. But anyway, whatever. Okay, Dave. Well, I'm going to go with
– you just had to get that off your chest?
I that's all I have to say about that. But I wanted one of those little laminated cards to tell us what the ground rule is on these nets that go down
each
foul.
You're right. It's weird.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go with Logan Webb because he was just sensational. And his final numbers were even a little bit better than Julio Urias, who also was sensational, but not quite as good as Logan Webb, who allowed only three hits and one walk in his six innings. And he's still building his arm strength back up. And he had 80 pitches tonight. And, man, he just Bellinger finally got a hit against him just out of the reach of Solano out in right field. And then he went to second base on a slow grounder. And McKinney got the hit, and he scored. So that was it. That's all the scoring that they did against Webb and against anybody else. So I'm going with Webb.
Yeah, he's good. And he just keeps getting another layer of confidence every time he goes out there. And what do we say? How many layers do you get when you do it against the Dodgers?
Triple layer.
Three layers.
You get three layers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's really getting good
fast now. He didn't know it was a three-layer night.
It's a three-hen night.
So he's, what, pitched 16 innings against the Dodgers. He's allowed seven hits this year.
You know, Max Muncy is destroying the Giants, and against Logan Webb, he's – I mean, that sinker against Max Muncy is a pretty darn good weapon.
He's the Muncy killer. I mean, he hasn't done anything against him.
Kind of a nice title to have these days.
I didn't even know it was possible.
Yeah, neither did I. Good pick, John. Logan Webb, great night for him.
Yeah, good pick.
All right, well, then I'll take Austin Slater.
Folks, if you could see Dave Fleming right now, he has a smile from ear to ear.
It's a happy song. It means, you know, Andrew Luck threw a touchdown pass or something like that.
This is the song that they were on the field playing as Cal was running the ball back for a touchdown.
I don't know that for sure. I don't.
I believe if you check it out, Dave, you'd find that them playing that song was part of that play.
Somewhere Joe Starkey is smiling. Well, Austin Slater had a great night, I thought. He got the game started with a base hit. His double in the six, you could argue, was the biggest hit of the game because that set up the at-bat for Posey where the Giants tied it up, and he made the throw in the fifth inning when the Dodgers had scored, and Billy McKinney was trying to get himself into scoring position against Webb, and he cut him down, and so Webb, I mean, it was like one pitch later, maybe two, and the inning was over, and so even though the Dodgers got the one, Slater helped make sure it was just the one. So anyway, I'm taking Austin Slater because, hey, look, I do think he's been, you know, the Giants have missed him against left-handed pitching. Part of the reason why they've been more vulnerable lately against lefties is because Austin Slater's been kind of hot and cold. And if he could get it locked in again, that would be a big, big boost to this team.
That was one of our keys, and, boy, he had a great night. Good pick.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, really good
pick. We have a Kipes pick.
Oh, okay.
He's taking the bullpen.
Yeah, take them all.
Harleen Garcia, Tyler Rogers, and Jake McGee, they were sensational.
They were lights out.
So Kipes came and worked a couple games this weekend. Now he's feeling frisky. He's going to take three guys.
He's taking three guys.
Take them all.
Only because he can.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, nice going,
smooth. Bullpen did a great job. What's on deck? Sponsored by your California Ford dealers. All right, game two. And, I mean, who knows what we'll see tomorrow, but it's Walker Buehler against Anthony DeSclafani. Just a terrific pitching matchup. Another night game, 6:45.
I expect the same type of game we saw tonight, the same type of games we saw all four in L.A. This is just what it's come down to between these two clubs. And, you know, it just intensifies, you know, as you go. That's the beautiful thing about the season. It just keeps getting better. Like Kipe always says, tomorrow is the biggest game of the year, and it's exactly what it is.
It sure feels like it. So now what? Are they 7-7 head-to-head Giants-Dodgers on the year?
Yeah.
7-7.
It's been an unbelievable series.
It has been. So tomorrow I expect a great game, and I hope we see a lot of Giants fans out here again. There are some seats available for tomorrow night. What's more fun than being here for this?
Well, the crowd is just amazing, and they were on every pitch, every play. And it starts out, you know, I mean, it starts out outside the ballpark when everybody's trying to get in. And there were a lot of Dodger fans here tonight. And a lot of energy on both sides, and just so much at stake. It's just fun.
We got the first Beat L.A. chant. In the first inning, Austin Slater gets ahead, and here comes Beat L.A. It was two batters in for the Giants. We had our Beat L.A. chant.
Well, and we also had an old-timey pitcher's duel.
We did.
Which is kind of what you like to see in a big pennant race kind of a game between the Giants and Dodgers. And it seems like every pitch just carries so much weight in a game like that. So you have these two powerful lineups, two of the highest scoring teams in baseball, and two of the highest home run hitting teams in all of baseball. And it is a pitcher's duel. So and a credit to both of those pitchers and all the bullpen guys too. So great work.
You know what? Before we get out of here, I do want to point out, because we never say anything about it. You know, we moan and groan about defensive alignments when a ball gets through. But whoever the analysts were that put together the defensive plan here tonight, they were spot on. There were a lot of balls that got hit hard that were hit right into the defense that was preset. That you know, you got to tip your caps to those guys, because they just don't get enough applause.
We get all those numbers from Sports Info Solutions from our friend Mark Simon, and the Giants have gotten more out of shifts and positioning than almost any team. Giants are a really good defensive team in a lot of ways, but one of the ways they measure that is how much do you get out of shifts, and the Giants have been brilliant with that.
They were tonight.
Glad you pointed it out.
And the Giants, I think, they were number one in getting ground balls, too. The staff gets a lot of ground balls, so that infield defense is critical for them, maybe more than anybody else. And their defense has shown up really well.
They really have. It's why they are where they are.
Theme of the game tonight, What's on Deck, sponsored by the Ford F-150 Lightning and your California Ford dealers. Visit buyfordnow.com to see deals on trucks and SUVs right now. All right, so John will have the highlights right after this.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.